Good morning. It is good to be here today. Why don't we pray and then open our Bibles and read a little bit. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. Thank you, God, that you give us moments like this to together come around your word, to do what you would have us do every day on our own, by ourselves, with our families, and now we can do it with our larger family. So as we read your word, God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would touch our hearts and our minds and draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we've been going through Colossians, we've hit the part of the book where it starts laying out very practically, this is what it looks like if you're God's child. If you're a Christian, this is how it's supposed to come out of you. This is what it's supposed to be like. This is how you're supposed to act and feel. And today is kind of a mixture between feel and think. This is how we're supposed to think / feel, specifically about other people. The text is going to draw us into, okay, how do I look at and think about other people? What do I feel when I look at you? And y'all, anyone in particular. How do I feel when I look at other people? Because it's going to address a problem that we have, which is that we make distinctions between different kinds of people and different classes of people, and we tend to look down on people who are in different classes. I don't mean just like a class system, but different kinds, different groups. If you and I are in different groups of people, my natural reaction is going to probably to maybe treat you different and look down on you. What I wrote down when I started looking at this text was this is about isms in God's family, like racism and classism and educationism and all the isms. I know it's not a word that displays my lack of educationism. The isms that the way we look at each other, and all of this whole text. So flip into Colossians. We'll read in a minute. We don't have a lot to read, so let me talk for a minute before we read to prepare us for what we're going to read. The whole thing that we're going to look at today starts with this reality that we judge and differentiate between different kinds of people. We look at people and based on external things. So I've been here enough that maybe you don't even realize what you think about me when I stand here. But if this was the first time I was standing here, you would look at me and you would see a certain color of skin, and you would see a certain gender, and you would see a certain way that I'm dressed and the way my hair is done or did or whatever the correct verb is with that, the way my hair is, made up, and the way my age, and you would see, when I would start talking, and you would hear a language, and you would hear an accent, or since I'm from Nebraska, proudly, lack of accent, right? You would see all the external things about me, and you would come to conclusions about me, and you would feel a certain way about me. You would, maybe like what you see, and you would say, that's my kind of person, because we're kind of in some similar categories. Or maybe you would look at me and say, that's not what I was expecting. Not there anyway. I mean, however you judge, would be based on who you are and who I am. And we judge and differentiate between each other based on external stuff. So it's everything I just mentioned. It's race stuff, and it's culture, and it's language. If you were to not see me here and not know me, but maybe hear me, when out in public, like when I'm with my family, and we're all speaking Spanish, maybe you would come to other conclusions about me, maybe better or worse, based on who you are and how you feel. But you would feel a certain way based on what you saw. And so when we start thinking about this, how we look at it, people, we say, we're going to talk about racism. That's racism. That's what I thought too when we started looking into this. It's like, cultural, how we look at people in different cultures and race. It's that, but it's bigger than that. It's bigger than racism. When I the way I look at you and I judge you, it's based on everything about you. It's based on your gender. It's based on your religious culture. If you come from a primarily Christian or Muslim or Catholic culture, atheistic culture, that I'll differentiate and judge based on that. If it, it, you, if we're in totally different age brackets, I'll judge and differentiate favorably or negatively based on that, depending on, you know, what kind of work you do. If you do the kind of work that I do, then we're kind of in the same thing. And if you do a different, you know, like more office-y or less office-y kind of work than me, then I'm going to look at you different. Depending on how physical or mental your work is, depending on what your education is, how many letters come after your name. That's why I don't talk about my education very much publicly. That should be lack of education, because you know, I know I'm going to get judged. So depending on where you're at on the whole education spectrum, let's not talk about that, because we put people in different categories based on how educated or not educated you are and I am, and how well that matches up. You ever judge people and differentiate between people based on how well they take care of themselves, and how that, you know, matches up to how you take care of yourself? Or economic class, live in a different part of town, or you know, live in the good side or bad side of Belmont, economic class, physical appearance, just, you know, stuff you can't control, like how big the nose and ears are, you know, just like, you don't look like my kind of person. My kind of person is a lot better looking than your kind of person. We would never say that. We would never think that, even, because we'd feel bad if we did, but we instantly make judgments about people and differentiate people. And mental capacity, if I perceive you to be a lot more intelligent than me or a lot less intelligent than me, not education-wise, just how smart you are, how quick you are, I'm going to differentiate between us and put you in a different category, maybe in my category, maybe in a different one. Maybe you don't want to be in my category in that department. I understand. And based on those judgments and differentiations and distinctions that we make between everybody we see, we exclude and we include, and we put people with us and away from us in different categories, and it becomes us and them. My people are like this, and your people, those are the other people. They're different than me. And then we judge, and we feel superior to people who are different than us. We feel, well, if we're different, I'm going to feel superior than you. Whether you know, you're a smarter person, if it's, you know, mental judging, if I perceive you to be smarter or better looking than me, I'm still going to feel superior because we're different, and I don't like you based on that. And if you're worse than me, in my opinion, well, I'll feel superior. Our pride comes in, and we assign moral value to our differences, and I'm better than you because I do this more than you, or I take better care of this, or I'm this kind of person. So what are yours? This is the part, okay, all that theory, it's, yeah, I'm good with that. But then this question was really convicting to me, and I'm not going to tell my own stories this week, partly because as I start thinking about this and really digging into my prejudices and how I feel about certain people that are different than me, it's really shameful and embarrassing. And I'm not going to tell you what mine are. I'm not going to tell you what some of the differences are, that if I see someone who's different in this way from me, that I instantly feel a certain way, and I'm kind of like, and I feel irritated, and I don't like that person. What are yours? And again, if you're thinking, I don't have any, congratulations, you can be judgy to me and to the rest of us. But for the rest of us, what are yours? What are the things that you see that kind of person, they do this thing, they're different than you, and you just instantly, you feel something, because it's a feeling, right? It's a sensation. You feel it on the inside. You feel that person, whether it's disgust, or it's, you know, just feeling, looking down on them, or you ever feel bothered or irritated by something? Like, why am I irritated at that person? I don't even know him. And then it's because of this about him. That just bothers me. And then if you ever have that, like, little, like in the parking lot in Sam's, you've had that thought process in your mind. It's like, that person bothers me. Why? I don't know them. It's because of this. And then it's, what is that for you? What's that thing that bothers you about other people who are different than you? Because we all have that. It's all part of our flesh. Maybe you're not racist at all. But people who dress worse than you, or make less money than you, or work in more hands-on kind of jobs than you, you look down on them. What is it for you? Think about that. Okay, what do we do with that? Don't we justify it and say, well, The reason I don't like that kind of person is feeling like, when I see that kind of person is because, well, our differences are real, and our differences kind of make me better. I mean, their differences are worse. It's because they didn't try to better themselves, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or if they would just, and they collectively, like that whole group of people, whether it's a race or a category or a class or a social or a whatever, if they would just, we focus on what the real or imagined defects are of those people, you know, whatever they are, and lets me feel better. And I can look down on them. I can justify feeling superior to them because they are quantifiably worse than me. I mean, you know, in my opinion, in the way I look at things, our justifications become what? Well, of course I don't like that kind of person. Look at what they are. Look at what they do. Look at how they are. Look at what they didn't do. I don't know. They just make me feel uncomfortable. I'm bothered by them. I can't explain it. That's our justification. And they're not that they're valid justifications. And so then feeling, judging, and differentiating between people, it leads us to sin against them. Because we see these differences and we put people in different categories and we feel superior to them, and then that becomes an excuse. It becomes an excuse to treat them worse. If you're in a better category than me, you know, based on whatever, you make more money and you're smarter and you're better educated, and I'm going to feel uncomfortable around you, and I'm going to treat you quantifiably worse than I would if we were in the same category. And if you're in a lower category than me, and however I'm measuring you and comparing us, I'm going to treat you worse as well because I'm going to feel justified in it because you're not as good as me. And so we look down on people who are different than us because we value them less. We put them in a category defined by something about them, whether it's their mind or their body or the way they look or their culture or their language or whatever it is. We put them in a category, and this is just the way they are, and we look down on them, and then we feel kind of justified in making fun of people who are different than us. Have you ever made fun of people who are physically different or mentally or whatever? If we all have, and why do we? What's this? They're just jokes, right? Well, it's making fun of somebody who's different than us, and I feel okay about it because I'm quantifiably better than them. Or ignoring people. You know, you ever notice, because then you wouldn't be, I guess you couldn't, but have you ever notice who you just walk by without looking at, without, and then who you walk by and you take notice of, and who you pay attention to and who you don't? That's a convicting thing to do. Just walk through Walmart and notice, who do I just completely ignore because they're in this other category and they're not part of my world and I wouldn't want them to be. And so I just kind of completely ignore them. I treat them with indifference. You know, you get frustrated with certain people for things that you wouldn't get frustrated with other people with. This was one of the convicting ones for me. Why did I get frustrated with that guy when what he did wasn't any worse than what people do all the time to me? It's because this difference about him and me, and it had nothing to do with what he did, but I had a whole lot less grace for him. But if you and I are similar in a lot of the ways that I measure people, you and I being similar, I'm going to give you a lot of leeway. You're going to have a lot of rope. You can do a lot of stuff to me. I'm okay with that. I have patience with you. But if you're different than me, and I don't like you starting out before I even know you, then I'm going to be very intolerant of you, and I'm going to be very impatient with you, and I'm going to be really quick to get irritated with you and to sin against you, at least in my attitude, and then it'll come out, and then, you know, you have that uncomfortable conversation. Maybe you don't. I did. This is a couple weeks ago, and it just this whole message was just like, I don't want to talk about this, because a couple weeks ago, we walked out of Walmart, and Jackie said, Why were you irritated with that guy? I'm like, well, because he... And then it dawned on me. No, it's because of external differences between us. That's horrible. That's sin. And we speak bad about people. We criticize people sometimes for their differences. And we feel justified, begin, because we've said, well, I'm not as bad as they are. They're worse than me. So I can talk bad about them. And I don't feel quite as bad when bad things happen to them. Not because they're better or worse than me, but because I think they are. Why do we do that? Why do we judge and differentiate and look down on and feel feel just about some people and not about others. Why? What is that? Where does that come from? I think, and we'll see the resolution of this in the text, I think it comes from us looking for two really big things. One is identity. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I as a person? What makes me me? What makes me? So I look at who I am in the mirror, and I say, that's who I am. It's who I am up here, and it's what I am physically, and it's my race and my culture and what I am economically and professionally and my all of that, the whole package of who I am, that makes me me. That becomes my identity, and so that then leads me to the next thing that I want was is worth. What makes me valuable? Well, it's who I am. It's what I look like. I'm part of this culture, and I speak this language, and physically I'm this way, and mentally I'm this way, and economically and professionally, and I'm this, and that makes me valuable, because I want to be valuable. And so then I assign value to who I am and what I am, and I take value away from people who are different than me, because it makes me feel more valuable. That's why we do it. So go to Colossians 3:11. You thought this was going to be a sermon without a Bible verse, didn't you? No, if that ever happens, just fire me on the spot. Like as I'm leaving, say, come forward if you want to make a decision, and Philip, just keep walking out. That's walk that way. That no sermons without a Bible verse. The text today answers a question: how should God's children look at other people? And it pulls out two differences, and they're the only differences that matter. And all the other things that we factor in when we assign people value, when we look at people, it's going to say, doesn't matter. You got to put those aside. You got to get rid of those. And it comes smack dab in the middle. Verse 11 comes right in the middle of all these instructions on how we're supposed to treat each other. So verse 9 says, do not lie to each other. And then verse 12, but as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, have compassion, put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, et cetera, et cetera. And above all these things, put on love, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. All these things that have to do with how we treat each other. And right in the middle of that, it talks about how we look at each other and how we distinguish between each other and the different classes we put each other in and how we treat each other based on our differences. So let's read verse 9 through 11 together. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. And in one quick verse, he puts aside all of the things that we use to distinguish between each other. In God's family, so start at the beginning of it, here, or in this newness, in this renovation, in this newness, what newness is he talking about? Where's the here that he's saying that he's gonna, that the rest of this is supposed to be true in? It's in backing up a little bit in verse 10. You've put off, verse 9, you've put off the old self, you put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You're a new person. You're a regenerate person. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. That's what he's saying here. As a new creation, if you're a new creation, if you're in Christ, if you've been born again, and if you've been transformed by God, if that's you, or someday that will be you, if you are going to be in the family of God, in the family of God, a child of God, beloved and accepted and adopted, then that, if you're there, there is no, and then he starts listing all these distinctions. And other translations would say there's not a distinction between. There are no distinctions between. All the distinctions that we use to differentiate between ourselves, they don't matter in God's family. They don't exist. There is no. He doesn't say, don't think about it, or don't. He's just, those distinctions aren't even part of people who are part of God's family. All the things that we give ourselves the luxury of distinguishing between ourselves, and you're more like me, and so I feel better when I'm with you because I feel better about myself with people who are like me, and I don't like the people who are different in certain ways than me, and so I look down on them and I'm irritated by them. And if you're in God's family, those distinctions don't matter and aren't real and shouldn't even be part of the way we look at people. And he starts going down just common distinctions between people and from his time, and I think think we could carry over to what they kind of look like for us. And they cover a lot of the ground of the way we distinguish between each other. So he says there isn't any Jew or Greek. And so he immediately goes to what Christians in his day would immediately be, what they would say, that's racial, that's cultural, because Christians were very aware of there's Jewish Christians and there's Greek Christians. There's all the Christians who aren't Greek, who are now part of God, or aren't Jewish, who are now part of God's family. And there's all the Christians who are Jewish, and there's massive racial and massive cultural differences. These guys think that, well, they were God's chosen people. They're children of Abraham. They're who they are because they were born here, and these guys were who they are because they were born here. They're the color of skin that they had, the language that they spoke, the culture that they feel comfortable in. That's who they were, and I'm better because I was born in this country, this culture. I can look down on you because you're different than me. In one fell swoop, he's putting in all kinds of distinctions of race and language and culture and family and who you are based on who you were born, circumcised and uncircumcised. That's isn't that cultural differences as well, religious cultural difference, and we're a Christian nation. Maybe you could say, well, there's parts of Europe that would be kind of like atheistic, you know, proudly atheistic, or there's Muslim nations, or there's places, you know, in Central America and Mexico that are Catholic nations. Whether everybody ascribes to those religions or not, but if you're that, then you feel like this is who I am, and if you're not that, you look down on that and say, well, that's who they are. That's bad. He puts all those kind of religious cultural distinctions. He goes on, barbarian, Scythian. And this isn't an either or one. This is a barbarian. You know, it's like the uncultured, the uncivilized, the uneducated, probably doesn't even speak Greek. They're the language everybody spoke. This is like just a savage person. And then Scythian is even more of that. Even more savage, even more barbarian. And these are kind of like educational and class and how refined, those kind of distinctions that people made in his time and in our time, slave or free. And here he goes to the extreme ends of the economic and professional distinctions. If I'm a slave, then I work for other people and I'm not free. I'm a servant. I'm a slave. I'm other people tell me what to do and give me what they want to, and I kind of just survive on that. And then on the other end, there's people who were their own masters and they had more access to wealth and the different ends of the whole class and economic worth and professional kinds of distinction. He says those distinctions don't exist. Here there is not. Here there is not. If you're in God's family, all those distinctions don't exist. All those distinctions, feeling and looking at each other and making those kinds of distinctions, if you're a child of God, sin. It's not just, I shouldn't feel that way. Am I racist? I don't know. I hope I'm not. It's that sin. That's sin. That's disobeying God, because here there isn't. That's not how we look at each other. That's not how we look at other people. That's not how it's sin. So this verse is a call for us to repent. If at the beginning, as you were going through that, as I was throughout this week, you said, yeah, I do look. There's some kinds of people. Maybe it's not racial for you. Maybe it is. There's some kinds of people that I don't like, and they bother me, and for valid reasons, I don't like them. And this is a call to repent, to recognize that's sin. That's disobeying God, to repent and say, I'm going to leave that and not be like that. And then he finishes by saying, there's only one thing that does distinguish people. Look at the end of the verse. Here there isn't these distinctions, but Christ is all and in all. Only one thing. There is something that distinguishes people. There is one thing. It replaces all the other ways of distinguishing people. If you're in God's family, there's only one thing that we should look at people and say, you're on this side or that side of this. He says, Christ is everything. It has to do with Jesus. Our distinctions between us go back to, if I'm in Christ, then my distinctions that I see between me and other people and my commonality is only, there's only one. There's only one, no matter how different we are age-wise or how different we are race-wise or language-wise, or it's Christ. He's the only difference between people. He's all and he's in all. This is what he's saying. The in Christ bit, that is Paul saying, if you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, if you have repented and been baptized and entered into Christ and given yourself to him, you're in Christ. That's the only difference. That's the only thing that differentiates people. If you are a Christian, it's, are you in Christ or are you not in Christ? If we're in Christ, then we're the same. We're one. There's no difference between us. We're part of the same family. We're born from the same Father. We share the same blood. We don't share the same blood, but the same blood covers us all. We are the same. We are completely the same. And all the other differences that we use to differentiate ourselves don't matter. Because if we're in Christ, we're one family. And we're the same. You don't get any more close to me than be oneness-wise than my family. My sons look like me. My wife loves me. We're one. My brothers look like me. Most of them. We're one. And he says we're one. We're part of the same family. We're in Christ, and we're the same. We have the same value. And we have the same worth. The worth that I find by being, I'm in this culture, and I'm this kind of person, I'm this intellectual or lack of intellectual, or I'm this or I'm that, or I'm, if I'm in Christ, my value and my identity comes from that. I'm God's dearly beloved child, and that gives me so much more value and worth than any other external difference between you and I that I could hang my hat on and say, that makes me important. I'm God's child, and by implication, when he talks about being in Christ, Christ is in us. Oh, I said that wrong. Christ is all and in all. See, some of you caught that. You're in a different category than me, so feel free to judge. the same logic holds true, though. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us. His Spirit is in us and joins us together. But by talking about that, he's implicitly also talking about what? He's making a distinction between those who Christ is in, who are in Christ, and those who are outside of Christ. And outside of Christ, we're all the same. We've all rebelled against God. And the big idea from this passage is this. In God's family, there's only one distinction that matters. There's only two classifications, one way of looking at people. Are you a child of my Father, or do you need to be a child of my Father? Are you in the same family that I'm in, or do you need to be shown the way into the family? And you see how that one distinction changes how we look at people? When we're different and I look at you based on all the differences that divide us, I look down on you and I treat you bad and I ignore you and I don't feel good about you. But when the only thing that separates or unites us is, am I in Christ, and are you in Christ? Or are you not in Christ? When that's the only difference between us, doesn't that change how we treat each other? Doesn't that give us humility? Because if my only distinguishing characteristic that really matters is that I'm in Christ, I didn't do that. I didn't choose to be born again into that family. I did make a choice, but it's because I was chosen. It's he loved me, and so I love him, and I do love him, and I did choose to be in his family, but he came after me with his grace, and he gave me faith to believe in him, and the God of the universe made me a new person. That's an incredible thing. It's by God's grace that I am what I am. And so if that's what I am, and if that's what makes me different than you, that doesn't make me proud. That makes me incredibly humble. I can't believe that I am what I am because his grace has been poured out on me. And then if you're different than me, if I draw that line, I say, are we in the same family? We're not. Then it's not I get to treat you worse. It's, I want you to be part of my family. I want you to receive the same thing that you have because if we're born with different skin colors, I can't change that for you, and you can't change that for me as much as you would like to, because this is not a very pretty when it gets burnt. But if we're